Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life, call his wife, and hey, it's a good one at 4:03. Well, how's your boy been? How's our boy Pete Alonso been? How's our boy Juan Soto been? It's okay on this Wednesday morning. Pennant race baseball is fun. I love it. I love this British crap, and I may move to England. Every time I say I love it, I think of Major League Baseball. I'm sorry, I just got to deal with it. It's one of my picadillos. One of those things I just do. At 4:03, we had two victories, both by 9 runs, both rocking chair, comfortable. Yankees had a position player pitching at the end of the game. Not the Yankees, the Seattle Mariners did. A comfortable victory for both teams in pennant race baseball last night. Both teams gained on their opponent as the Atlanta Braves blew a lead late to the Cincinnati Reds and fell to them. And so the Mets now have a 2-game lead over them, securely in the third wild card, and tied with the tiebreaker over the Arizona Diamondbacks for the second wild card. And the Yankees gained a game on the atrocious Baltimore Orioles, who got pounded by the San Francisco Giants 10-0. And the Yankees now have a 4-game lead in this division with 11 games to play. Both games were easy, both games were fun, but let's really focus on the man of the hour here at 4 o'clock, because the man of the hour is Pete Alonso. This was Pete Alonso's night. Yeah, Juan Soto hit his 40th home run. Juan Soto hit his 200th home run of his remarkable career at only 25 years old, and Juan Soto has now hit a home run in every single ballpark in Major League Baseball, and the Yankees had a resounding victory, and sure. Those are all nice, and I love talking about it, but it's not as impressive as what Pete Alonso did last night, because Pete Alonso, under much scrutiny by the media, by the fan base, who I believe is ready to move on. Like, that's the vibe I'm getting from this Met fan base. That thanks, Pete. A little bit of thanks for nothing, Pete. And it's time to move on. And we found out yesterday that there was a meeting with this team that was called by the general manager, David Stearns, or the baseball president of operations, whatever you want to call his title. He runs the show. The showrunner called the meeting, along with the manager. And apparently, Pete Alonso decided to speak. And he wanted to talk about how rare this is for the New York Mets. And unfortunately it is. And how rare it's been for Pete in his career to be able to be in this position to chase legitimately a playoff spot. And how badly he wants to celebrate, because the last time they did this in 22, they didn't find out to the last game of the year they weren't winning a division. And it wasn't so much a celebration to be the wild card team at that point. And he wants to catch what they're chasing right now. And he wants to celebrate with the boys. He gave that speech right around the same time that I and so many of us, so many Met fans, so many of us here at the station, so many pundits and writers covering the team have been clamoring for someone to step up in the absence of Lindor. And Pete Alonso decided to speak up in that meeting, and then he let his bat do the talking last night. He comes through in what has been, without question, a disappointing season to put it lightly, and a season where this Met team has rallied back from 11 games under 500 to be where they are, where the offense exploded in the middle of the season, dominating starting pitching and dragging them back into the light. And I could name 6, 7 guys who I could tell you and honestly believe when I tell you had a bigger impact on all of that winning and all of that offense and all of those runs scored, had more of an impact on it than Pete Alonso. He has had one of the more, and I sometimes it gets overblown about home runs are meaningless and this is meaningless. We watch the games every day, and they've been doing this for 3 months, playing catch-up off a miserable start. And I can honestly say that I don't know if I've ever seen a 30-home run guy, 80 RBI guy, with less of an impact on actually winning than what Pete Alonso has provided all year. And yesterday in particular, I went and gave an impassioned speech, much like Pete gave an impassioned speech, about it's time for him to step up and over these last 12 games do something that would erase the previous 150. Because nobody cares what you did in April and May. Right? No one cares. There's Mr. October. There is no Mr. May, unless you want to talk about Dave Winfield. And that's not a kind term. Nobody cares. If he, over the course of these 12 games, can carry this Met team and get them into the postseason and then beyond with their MVP and Lindor on the shelf for God knows how long, and let's be honest about that. I'm going to get into this in a second. The meeting on itself scares me, and I know it happened before the MRI, but just the idea of the meeting on itself scares me about where we are with this Lindor injury. But if he can do it, and carry this team, no one will care about the 150 before it. Now, I don't know what it would mean for his contract or whether or not the Met fan would want him or not, but here's the thing. He can change the narrative of what this season has been in an instant. He had 12 games to do it, and last night, he came through with the bases loaded. Yes, blue pit. I don't care how... We don't care about exit velocity, right? He came through with a blue pit that scored 2 runs that took a tie game and made it a 3-1 game. And then later in the game, blew open the game and put the final death knell into the Washington Nationals with a 3-run bomb that turned a 6-run lead into a 9-run lead, or a 6-run score into a 9-run score, and put that baby to bed. He had 5 RBIs, 3 hits, and answered the bell last night when everybody is looking for him to do so in a season where his contract's gotten in the way and everything else has gotten in the way and been unable for him to perform at the level he's been expecting himself and we have been expecting him to perform. And yet last night, with everyone watching, waiting for someone to step up, because even though they won the night before, the offense has been stagnant. And even though they came from behind and won a miraculous game as they were being no-hit in the ninth and scored 6 runs, that's on the back of Lindor. And with Lindor gone and Viento slumping and, you know, living off of your starting pitching, it was time for Pete to show up. Now, he's got to do it the rest of the way. It can't be a one night only. Opening and closing can't be just last night. He's got to continue this. But that's one hell of an impressive performance last night from Pete Alonso. He and the home runs on an 0-2 pitch. Like, he answered the bell last night. And now he gave this team an opportunity to be 2 games up over the Atlanta Braves, tied with the tiebreaker over the Arizona Diamondbacks, and in a position to celebrate with the boys. He asked for it. He's helping them get it. And it's got to continue. And it's probably going to have to, based on the idea, that meeting scares me, no? Like, I know it was I read the story, and the last line was that it happened before the MRI on Lindor, and the MRI did come back clean. But this team has been rolling. Like, I'm confused about the meeting in general. Like, this team is rolling. I know the offense has been down. They have the best record in baseball since May. This team's been rolling. This team's been winning. This is the same group that 3 weeks ago was four games behind the Braves. And I believe when this meeting was held, they were a game up on the Braves. This is a team that made a five-game difference in the standings in the last 3 weeks. And the general manager or president of baseball operations and the manager feels a meeting is necessary. I know Lindor is the heart and soul of the team. I get it. And he's been their MVP, arguably the league's MVP. But why is a meeting necessary there? Have you got a feeling this team is ill-prepared? Have you got a feeling this team isn't playing up to its capabilities? Have you got a feeling that this team doesn't recognize the situation they're in? Because I haven't. I've seen, slumping offense, but big hits. I've seen emotion. I've seen urgency. I've seen the manager handle it that way. I've seen the players handle it that way. I've seen hustle. I haven't seen mental mistakes for the most part. Like, I've seen a group that looks relatively locked in. Why the meeting? Unless you're very concerned about Lindor's injury. Very concerned. Now, is it possible that this MRI quelled all the concerns and all the fears? I don't know. And I told you yesterday, I'm surprised. Like, this guy is an Iron Man. Every time we had the MVP discussion, we talked about it. He plays every day, plays every day, plays every day. He does. He takes it personal. And he has pride in the fact he plays every day. And he gets pulled from a game and is not playing in the middle of a pennant race. Like, he's got to be pretty banged up. And I'm wondering what the Mets actually think about this injury. And I'm wondering what Lindor actually thinks about this injury. And I'm wondering how long he might be gone that they felt it necessary to gather the troops around. Because, I've never been, nor pretend to have been, in a major league clubhouse, not a professional athlete. I joke about my high school prowess. You know, I have no idea what goes on. But what we've learned, or what typically happens, is you don't have these type of meetings with a team that's rolling. You don't add the pressure up to a team that seems to be handling it. I think it's an odd-timed meeting. Just to make sure everybody's on the same page. You've watched this Met team. Now, I know you don't have an up-close front row seat the way the manager does or the president of baseball operations does, but have we gotten a feeling that this team isn't aware of the circumstances or isn't playing up to the level of urgency that's warranted for a playoff race? Because, I don't know, I would think making up six games in 3 weeks tells me different. I don't understand the meeting at all. Now, the reaction from it in the immediacy is they've won games. And Pete Alonso, and speaking up, maybe helped spur this game from him and what will be the next week from him, hopefully. So whether I am curious about it or not, as long as it works, who gives a damn? But I just find it puzzling, and I'm wondering why. And the only thing I can come up with, and it's part of the reason in the story from Joel Sherman why they had it, was about the injury. But if they thought it was just a couple days and we'll see you in Philadelphia, while they're playing the Nationals, while they've outpitched every team in Major League Baseball for 3 months, while they've outplayed every team in Major League Baseball for 3 months, as they continue to pile up the wins and move up and up and up and up the standings, why on earth would you stop to talk about it? I'd pretend like it's not happening. I would just, let's go out there and play, boys. We get it. The meeting makes me very concerned about the Lindor injury. Very concerned. Now, I know everything came back fine in the MRI, and hopefully I'm just clutching at straws here trying to make a segment in 416. I don't know if I am, but feels weird, no? Because typically we don't point out the winning. You don't stop and say, hey, guys, we've been playing great. Let's keep it up. Like, we don't do that. You gather the troops when you need to instill a bit of confidence. And why would this group need confidence the way they're playing? Because their MVP is not going to be here for 2 weeks? Maybe. Very, very puzzled by the meeting, and I'm wondering what it means for the injury of Lindor. But it helped Pete Alonso, and they need it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here. Sal and Matawan, what's up, Sal?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Long time no speak.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Before I get to Pete, I just want to ask you a question. Are you anywhere near Emirates Tree Farm in Warwick? Are you up over there?
Emirates?
Yeah, Emirates Tree Farm.
And I don't know. I don't know it offhand. No, I'm in Warwick. I'm not. Yeah. Can you give me another landmark around it or something?
Actually, I don't. I was going to ask you if you're cordially invited. I have a wedding up there. My son's getting married first weekend in October.
Oh, that's awesome. So congratulations.
You're invited there for a drink if you want to come by.
All right, I'll look it up. What night is it?
It's the 5th of October.
The 5th of October. Okay. I'll think about it. Emirates. I'll write that down, though. Emirates Tree Farm. That's cool.
Yeah, E-M-M-E-R-I-C-H.
Emirates Tree Farm. Okay. Thank you very much for the invite. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Open bar, of course, right?
Of course.
Of course. All right, then we'll consider it.
Yeah, my kid is more like a hippie, an old hippie, so they wanted to get up.
Oh, well, then we know exactly what's going on there. Then I'm open to it. then I'm definitely feeling good.
Good for you.
All right.
I think it got back to Pete what you were saying. I mean, I agree with everything you said. I mean, he's got to step up. I think the meeting also might have been just maybe he feels, you know, he doesn't know if he's coming back or not, and he just want to let the guys know that he appreciates playing with them and being a Met.
Yes.
You know.
That explains why Pete decided to speak. But if we take the story for what it says, he did not call the meeting. The meeting was called by Stearns and Mendy. That's who called the meeting. You're right. I think that's part of why Pete decided to speak, no doubt. That this could be it for him. This could be his last homestand, could be his last run with this group and the Mets, and he wants to do it in this city for this team. Like, and that's all part of why he decided to speak in the meeting, but he didn't call the meeting. I'm just trying to speculate why call the meeting. Meetings are called to change momentum. Meetings are called when you're floundering. Meetings are called when you feel like you see something where I need to change this. What needs to change with the Mets right now? What momentum swing do the Mets need right now? I understand that Lindor got hurt, but it's if we're thinking it's just a couple days, and again, the story did say that it was before the MRI. So maybe they had real fears that the MRI was going to give them bad news, and now this changes everything, and that the news of the MRI is no longer what I'm talking about, no longer makes sense. But it's just, it's puzzling to me that they would call a meeting unless they felt really bad about that injury. And maybe the MRI made them feel a little better, and he's back against Philadelphia. But if that was the case, if he's like, hey, we're gonna miss a couple days against Washington, like, why would you stop and talk about how good it's been going? Feels weird. Just feels weird. Patrick in Jersey City. What's up, Pat?
Chris, what up, man? How you doing? Thanks for talking to me.
What's going on? Of course. Yeah, you call, I talk to you. That's how it works. I take Brett's phone calls. You think I'm not going to talk to you, Pat? We're cool. What's going on?
I appreciate it, man. I was just curious, because sometimes I do get tied up at work. I can't listen to every single minute of every one of your shows.
Oh,
if anybody has called recently to give Boone credit for the winning baseball we've been watching.
Of course not. What are you, nuts?
Not a single person?
A guy called up and asked the same question you're asking. You are now the second person asking. I don't remember him necessarily giving him credit that much, maybe a little. But it was more about, hey, when are we going to start giving him credit? Is anybody going to give him credit? Without actually just unannounced, unprovoked, no questions, just flat out, hey, I want to give Boone credit. Nobody's done that yet because Yankee fans don't want to do it. Because the players win, the manager loses. Never mind the fact that since Boone decided to pull the plug on Clay Holmes and get creative with the bullpen and put more onus on his decision-making and matchups, that the bullpen's been lights out and every button he's pushed has been perfect. No, no, no. That's just because the relievers are back and healthy and pitching great. Has nothing to do with Boone. If they give up runs, Boone's a moron. But that's how it goes. That's how it goes.
Now, how about pinch run and John Birdie against Kansas City in extra innings?
No, twice he did that. No,
not everybody on that team is going to score from second on that single.
Absolutely, and I think he completely outmanaged Cora. Other than the disaster that was the Cole situation and the intentional walk, which I put more on Cole. I know they came up with a plan, and even the idea of a plan is stupid, fine. Cole was the one who called for it. All he did was not veto Cole's decision to walk Devers. So we can get to, I've already talked about that. I don't put that much on Boone for it. I really don't. I know other people will. I think he completely outmanaged Cora in that entire Red Sox series.
So hold on. Yeah. Hold on, Chris. You're telling me that Aaron Boone managed circles around the best to ever do it, Alex Cora?
Absolutely. The great Alex Cora. Can you believe it? The guy who every time the Yankees and Red Sox, every time the Red Sox beat the Yankees, it is a guarantee. I wish I could bet this. Every single time the Red Sox beat the Yankees, I will either read a story about it, hear a podcaster say it, take a phone call on it, see a social media post put out by WFAN about it, where it will say, and Alex Cora managed circles around Aaron Boone. It happens no matter. They could win 15-0, and the starting pitcher had absolutely nothing, and it will be Alex Cora outmanaged Aaron Boone. It happens single time the Red Sox beat the Yankees. It is a guarantee. And instead, this series, Aaron Boone completely outmanaged him. He just did. The first game of the series, Thursday night, tight game, extra innings. He's got Canley on the mound, and I think, Cora thought he might go to a different pitcher. He pinch hits Jansen. Jansen has owned the New York Yankees. When he was with Toronto, owned the New York Yankees. He hit a home run earlier in the game. And instead, he pinch hits Cassis, who's a slumping left-handed hitter who's hitting about .170. He pinch hits a lefty to face Canley, who has the changeup that gets out lefties. He's our get-out lefty guy. Him and Hill. It was a ridiculous pinch hit. I thought, and then at the end of the series, Cora gives you all this nonsense about how if we turn the season around and tries to rally the troops by saying, oh, he hit him on purpose, and then blatantly goes out there and admits they threw a judge, and Major League Baseball is not going to punish him. Why? Why should they punish him? I mean, he's only the architect of the biggest cheating scandal in the history of the game, and now, he was allegedly and probably, most likely, you take it how you want what happened in 2018 the next year, his first year with the Red Sox, and what they've done since, but okay. How many last place finishes he's had, but okay. He got absolutely outmanaged. He's trying to rally the troops around hit by pitch and intentional walks, throwing a judge, admitting it, and then not getting in trouble. Nonsense. But he's a great manager, and Aaron Boone's a fool.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
That's how it works.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 431. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Yeah, no, I know. I get mad about the Boone stuff because I don't think he's the greatest manager ever. He makes plenty of mistakes. They all do. And if they don't, if they have another disastrous, if they can't get out of the, in this American League playoffs, if they can't get out of the DS, then I think there's a good, I think you make a, you would have a very valid case to move on from him. But we blame him for every, it just gets tiresome. He gets blamed for everything. Like last night, I saw the stupidest play on a baseball field I've ever seen. Ever. Victor Robles did the dumbest thing. And I'm racking my brain about considering the circumstance of what was going on. I don't know if I've ever seen a more just genuinely dumb thing to do on a baseball field than what we saw in the first inning of that game yesterday. And by the way, it completely changed the game. I don't know if the Yankees win that. Like, that's it. The game ends up being 11-2. I don't know how that game plays out if he doesn't do this. Luis Gil is completely on the ropes in the first inning. First pitch of the game, he hits Robles on the hands. He walks two other batters. He's got the bases loaded, two outs, a 3-0 count on Justin Turner, who's been very good with running the scoring position this year, and since he's, and particularly with Seattle since he got traded over from the Blue Jays. It's 3-0. He's already walked two guys. He's about to just give them a run. He's either going to walk them or throw a fastball down the middle and give Turner an excellent opportunity to drive in runs. And Robles decides to try and steal home. He's well down the line, about halfway. Luis Gil goes to pick up the rosin bag. I guess timeout isn't called, and I think that's what they argued after, is that the Blue Jays said Turner called timeout. But he breaks for home and tries to steal home with two outs, a 3-0 count on a middle-of-the-lineup RBI guy. And he gets thrown out at the plate to end the inning. It completely took Gil off the hook. Who knows what happens in that inning? It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Does anybody blame the manager? Does anybody say, oh my God, he didn't have that team in the right frame of mind? Oh my God. How could this, is that sloppy baseball falls on the manager? I'm sorry. That's a veteran baseball player who just made the dumbest decision. Should the manager have gone over that with him? Hey, if we find ourselves in a position about to break the game open, don't run into outs on the base path. Don't try and steal home. You know, you're not, you know, who do you think you are? Are you stealing home? But if a Yankee did it, oh my God. Aaron Boone's this is the kind of ship he runs. This is the kind of atmosphere he's bred. This is what's allowed to have happened with the New York Yankees. It's not so much that he tried to steal home, it's that Boone has created an atmosphere where the runner even thinks it's possibly okay to steal home. That's what we would hear. That's what I would get. I know that for sure on Twitter. That's what we get. Every time someone pulls a rock and does something stupid, Aaron Boone, you know, allowed that frame of mind to take place. Every time a reliever gives up a run, Aaron Boone brought in the wrong guy at the wrong time. No feel for the game. Like, it's obnoxious. It gets obnoxious. So I get a little defensive about it, because while I don't think he's a great manager, and while I do think there's a very good case to move on from him if they don't win, because there are things I don't like. I do think there's a little bit of a laissez-faire attitude. I do think there are things that are troubling me about the way this team is run and things are done. There's no doubt. But it goes so over the top. It's obnoxious. So when he takes the Red Sox behind the woodshed, in my opinion, and outmanages the great Alex Cora, I'm going to revel in it for a minute. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm pretty good. Heel definitely pitched a good, great game, and Soto hit his 40th. That's home run in all 30 blocks. So he's happy about that.
He is certainly happy about that. He is.
Yeah, the third time in Yankee history that teammates have hit 40 plus in a year, which is awesome.
Yep. His also 200th career home run. Don't forget that little tidbit.
Yes, can't forget about that. And how was that considered safe with Stroman? He had three
innings. It's a dumb rule. I mean, if you pitch, you could be up by 35 runs. If the guy throws the last three innings of the game, he gets a save. Whatever. That's how they could excuse giving Clay Holmes a 12th blown save when he gives up a one-run lead in the seventh. Gets a blown save for it. I think they need to revisit the save rules and blown save rules, but it doesn't matter. But yeah, Luis Hill ended up pitching a great game for the most part. He was wild, had tough time throwing strikes. That's why he doesn't work in the bullpen. That's the last. Luis Hill is either a starting pitcher or he ain't pitching. That's it. You either leave him off the playoff roster or he's starting games, because I don't see a use for him coming out of the bullpen. He just doesn't throw enough strikes. I don't trust him to come in. He might come in and wipe three guys out on nine pitches, sure. He also might come in and throw and walk the first two guys. Like, he's just too unpredictable. He's got to be a starting pitcher. And he found it after the debacle that was Robles trying to steal home plate. And, you know, the last two outings have been good. And the starting pitching's been good. Other than Cole, starting pitching has been really good the last couple times through. And I feel like Boone's handled the bullpen situation. I think as much as Nestor didn't like it, Nestor was the right guy to send to the bullpen. And I'm sure, as we saw Stroman pitch in this game to get that save you just mentioned, I'm sure he's not thrilled to be in the bullpen. He's the guy who needs to be in the bullpen. I think right now, if you're a Yankee fan, this is as happy with the way they're playing and is happy with the decisions being made from ownership and front office and manager as you could possibly be. I don't know what else we could. I don't know what they want. Like, what else could you want? Right now, they are doing everything we could possibly want. Could, you know, Dominguez play every single day and never see Verdugo? Right now, I think he's getting enough play time. They're mixing it up, and they're going to see who their left fielder in the playoffs is going to be. Like, if Verdugo outclasses Dominguez in the next week, as unlikely as that sounds, Yankee fans would be hypocrites to not scream that Verdugo should play. Because it's about playing the best guys, right? That's what we say. That's what it's about. We'll find out who the best guy is in the next week and a half. Hopefully it's Dominguez. Home run last night spurs it. If it's tied, if it's even close to tied, then it's Dominguez. But like right now, they're playing their best guys. They've completely fixed their bullpen. The rotation's been great. Like, Dominguez is here. Birdie's pinch running. Birdie's here. They're even giving Volpe a day off when he's struggling. They're playing Cabrera at third at shortstop. They played Cabrera at first because Rizzo's not hitting. Like, they've done. They're getting ready for this playoff run. Phil and Howell. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right. Back injuries are very tricky.
They are.
All right. I think you have in your mind, you might be thinking of Don Mattingly, Christian Yelich type thing. But I don't, maybe it's just a back spasm. It looks like that he hurt his back when a few games ago, if you remember, he overran the base and he was tagged out.
Yeah.
And he tried to get back to second base.
Yeah.
I think that looks like, because he went down, he looked like he was in pain a little bit. So I think that might be, you know, what happened. I thought, you know, I'm really, like, yeah, not that worried, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't that worried about it either necessarily. And I'm by no means am I saying, you know, I know Frank the Tank was saying he's got spinal stenosis like David Wright. I don't think anybody's there, nor do I think it's something that's going to hamper him forever the way Don Mattingly's back did. I don't think anyone's there, nor am I saying that. What I'm saying is he's missed games now. He tried to get back into the lineup, pulled himself out, or they pulled him out of the lineup, and now they're having meetings to try and get the troops rallied around the idea they won't have Lindor. It's just, I'm a little nervous that it's going to be longer than we thought. Not something that's going to linger forever or cost him his career, but might cost him the next week and a half, 2 weeks, and that's it. That's the season.
Well, I think that because they won two straight against Washington, I think as long as they're winning, even without him, we need him, all right, that I think he's going to keep him out tonight, too. I mean, as long, you know what I mean?
Oh,
I mean, they won
there's...
the two games.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Your line has all kinds of background noise, Phil. I apologize. There is no doubt. I would be shocked Lindor plays tonight. Shocked. The earliest is the Philadelphia series tomorrow. The earliest. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think he plays game one of that series either. I think they're going to give him, as long as they're winning, now they've built up a little bit of a cushion here. Here's the thing, too. You're going to find out. Like, organizations, we get on the Yankees and how they prepared this year and everything. Organizations act different when they have a cushion. The Mets haven't had any cushions. The Mets have been desperate to get wins, desperate to do this, desperate to get back into it, desperate to hold on to it, desperate to, you know, not that a two-game cushion's a big cushion, but it's enough where you don't force Lindor into the lineup. It's enough where you give it a day, give it an extra day, give it two extra days. As you're watching the Braves lose these games, I think they're gonna hold him out until they are 100% positive they don't have to pull him out again. Like that. That's it. Greg and Elizabeth, what's up, Greg?
Yeah, I got to call you out on something you said yesterday.
Sure. By all means.
You said Alonzo's OPS was slightly above average.
I don't remember it specifically. For him, his OPS is down for sure. But I'm sure it's still well above. He's got 30 home runs. I'm sure it is somewhat above average.
Average is 712.
Mm-hmm.
His yesterday was 795.
Yeah. So he's an almost 800 OPS guy. He should be well above 800 OPS. He's had a down year. I mean, you can argue with me, and maybe in the middle of a rant, I did say that. I knew that wasn't the case. As soon as you said it, I said, I don't think that's the case, but maybe I said it. But I did say it? Okay, so I said it. Pete Alonso's having a down year, though. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's having
a
down year.
It's the first time his OPS has been 800, under 800.
Right.
But
that's more the point. He's having a down year. That's why it's a bad year. That's why I'm referencing it, because he had a 941, 817, 863, 869, 821. I mean, those are his OPSs over his career. 120 RBIs, 94 RBIs, 131 RBIs, 118 RBIs, 86 RBIs, 53 home runs, 37 home runs, 40 home runs, 46 home runs, 33 home runs. Like, that's why we're talking about it, because, all right, if I misspoke for a second, he's clearly a better-than-average ball player, and he's having a down season for him, and in the clutch in particular, in meaningful at-bats and meaningful opportunities, he's been really bad.
Yeah, just good to hear you correct it.
Sure,
thank
no problem.
You.
I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong. And sometimes when you play this game, when you do what we do, and if I'm on a run here or something, things like that might slip out. I might every once in a while say, you know, slightly above average OPS. Not immune to a mistake or two. I mean, after the game, he's got an 800 OPS. So listen, 800 OPS, you're a solid baseball player. You're a very good baseball player. 800 OPS, you are a good Major League Baseball player. But Pete Alonso, who's looking for the best first base contract in baseball, Pete Alonso, who hired Boris to go get paid, Pete Alonso, who views himself... And let's be honest, Major League Baseball views him as a selling point. They made him an all-star so he could hit in the home run derby. Like, he's supposed to be more than just an 800 OPS guy having a 30-80 poor, late and close type season. It's been a disappointing year. I don't think anyone would quibble with it, not even Pete. But he has an opportunity to turn that all around over the next 11 games.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, those were the days, Corey Webster. Don't feel like that no more. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. All right, let's just go through as many phone calls as we can until 5 o'clock. Tonight was much more of a baseball night. Tomorrow will be more of a football day as we have the Jets Thursday night football against the Patriots. Again, I heard a stat. Now I want to double check it to make sure I'm right, but I'm pretty sure I am. This is the first time since the Vinny Testaverde Achilles tear game in 1999 that the New York Jets have been favored by 6 or more points against the New England Patriots. It's been a quarter of a century of the Patriots pretty much being favored. I think the last time,
Tom Brady was still in Michigan.
Tom Brady was still in Michigan, yeah. I mean, that's the last time it's been this big a favorite. So this is a huge game for the Jets. They have to. I know New England's been a little bit of a surprise. They played well. Obviously, beating Cincinnati was one of the bigger surprises of the season so far. And you would think it would be the big surprise, but, you know, there's been some doozies. I mean, the Ravens blew a 10-point lead in the last 5-6 minutes against the Raiders. And, you know, the Saints went in and just pounded the Cowboys. I know that's not as, maybe that's not as surprising, but the way they did it was pretty damn surprising. Anyway, they've been better. They took Seattle to overtime. They've been better than what people thought, which would be the worst team in the NFL. And the defense has been better. This Jet team has got to get a little bit better offensively to start the game, as Aaron Rodgers has said. And they got to find a way. If this season's going to be what it is, this is a game they have to win. They have to beat the Patriots twice. They have to win this game. 888-808-1019. So we'll spend more time on the Jets tomorrow. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hello, my friend.
Good. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Before I make my real quick quarter point, I just want to hand it to you. You keep your cool when people press your buttons. I give you a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, that's all right. That's what's coming.
But you do a solid show with no shtick, no gimmicks, and it doesn't get lost on the listeners. You really are the class of the station.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's very kind. Thank you.
No, it's true. You're good. I told you that when you first took over overnight. You're really good. You are really good, knowledgeable, entertaining. The whole Cora thing, I'm with you. When the Mets played them that 3-game series, Mendoza went step for step with him, and I remember saying to myself, this guy's not Connie Mack. He's not, like, why is this guy so I understand he has a ring, but
he won a championship, and, you know, they've had teams that have been deemed to be less talented than, you know, I mean, I think it's, I mean, listen, he's a good, I don't think
it's overblown.
Yeah, I think he's a fine manager. I think he's a good manager. But the idea that he's like, you know, oh, Alex Cora, he might not be with the Red. Remember when he was like, before he signed the extension contract with the Red Sox, he was like, he might hit the free agent market. Oh my, teams are going to go falling over themselves to go get Alex Cora or whatever. He's the architect of the biggest cheating scam. Everyone else had to pay.
Yes.
This guy missed a year, came right back, and now he's getting praised at every turn.
It's true.
Carlos Beltran could barely be involved in baseball, but this guy, you know, it's...
Well, listen, it's funny. I know you got to get all those people, but back in April, the narrative was like Baltimore's running away with things. They're the class of the league. Houston's going to be out of it this year. And you were pining for a Yankee-Houston playoff. You're going to get it,
well,
man.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, Tommy. I got to go rapid fire a little bit better than that. But we will see. And I will, I'm telling you right now, get me to that series. I'm going to be nuts. Let's go to Bobby in Bayville. What's up, Bobby? You think this is Yankee hot stove now? Wait until the Yankees Astros series.
Hey, Chris.
No, it's okay. Good, man.
Subject. You're the best. Let me tell you.
Thank
you. Hey, I listen to this. I've been listening to this station for about 30 years. You guys are the best. I'm a Cowboy fan, dislike the Giants and Eagles, obviously, but I'm a sports fan. I've been listening to this radio station all day yesterday, from morning to afternoon. Now, I understand Saquon's the story. He's from New York, the history, I get it. But how come no one spoke about Sirianni?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'd be surprised if nobody spoke about it. I spoke about it. I thought the play call was ridiculous. I think his facial expressions, he's so pleased with himself. Like, that's, you watch him on the sidelines, he declined that penalty where, you know, it was 3rd and 1, you know they're going to get it because they have the tush push, and it's going to cost the Falcons, theoretically, an extra 40 seconds. They try to go off sides to give the Eagles the first down with no time coming off the clock, and he declined the penalty, as he should have. He did the right thing, so I'll give him credit for it. But he put such a smirk on his face, like as if he's the most brilliant coach in the world to decline that penalty. It was obnoxious. So, yeah, you know, listen, he gets his blame for the way the team fell apart last year. He gets his blame for last night, no doubt. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Hang up on that Cowboys fan already. Chris, to that other caller, Chris isn't classy. He solicits listeners for open bars at weddings. I mean, come on, man. Chris, get a grip, bro. Wow, classy.
Yeah, classy.
Far from classy. Chris,
you should tell all your friends on the
you.
On your online group chats how classy I am.
I'm down to 10. I got thrown off yesterday with the Bryce Young one. I'm down to 10. But, Chris, thank you for not taking Bernadette's call yesterday. Thank you. That made my day. Chris, the last thing I'm going to say.
That's the one
awesome,
thing.
Man.
Stop
yeah,
insulting
don't let
her rank
on me anymore.
Stop. She didn't rank on you. She shouldn't say a damn word about you. You're the one ranking on people. So
she wants to knit me in a ball bag. Stop.
Well, you brought it up.
Chris, last thing, because just you love the negative conversations, Chris.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, if the Giants don't do good this week.
Next time, Brett. Class, 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 class. All right, everybody. That's it for me. We'll catch you tomorrow. Same time, same place. I'll be on after the Yankee and Seattle game. Hopefully, I will be dousing myself in champagne. The Yankees have a one-game magic number. Be nice to be on here right after the Yankees clinch a playoff spot. We also have Mets in Washington. And, of course, we will get ready for Jets football Thursday night against the Patriots. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. The warm-up show is next. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Even you, Brett. Fliegelman, I'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a good day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.